ballroom dance enthusiasts. Coming to you from Kitchen Pantry Studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's The Dancing Housewife Show. I'm your host, The Dancing Housewife. Welcome to The Dancing Housewife. With me today, Jen Jackson. Jen lives in Victoria, British Columbia in Canada, and she is a public affairs officer with the Canadian Armed Forces. She is actually in the military. Jen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. Well, let's get started. One of the things that is the absolute most inspiring thing about you is that you are dancing your way through cancer treatment. You were diagnosed in November of 2014. I've been following your blog very closely ever since you left a message and kind of went back and read all your back posts, so I know your story really well, and you're just an amazing lady. Can you tell us what your timeline was? I know you were diagnosed in November of 2014, but how did you actually find it, and what kind of breast cancer do you have, or did you have?
Yeah, it's thankfully it's did I have, so yes. So it was October 2014, and it was just Breast Cancer Awareness Month and everything, and I was thinking, okay, well, it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so I should probably do a little bit of a self-exam and, you know, just make sure everything is okay. And I was absolutely shocked to discover a lump just under my right nipple, and I thought, oh, well, that's kind of weird, but, you know, it's probably just a cyst because I was young. I was 35 years old.
Right.
There was no history of breast cancer in my family, so it was not even something that I was really looking for. So I didn't think much of it. I just thought, you know, it's probably just one of those hormonal things, you know, whatever.
Right.
And then I was at work, and I had gone to do the gym, and then when I was showering, I happened to look down, and I noticed that there was some discharge coming out of the nipple. And what was strange is that it was black and it was green. And so that was enough for me to say, oh, okay, this is just really weird. So I went that afternoon to the health clinic, and they took some samples of the fluid and checked the lumps and stuff, and they referred me for an ultrasound because at a younger age, mammograms are not as effective as discovering lumps because your breast tissue isn't as dense as it is later in life. So that's why they usually recommend waiting until after 40 to start mammograms.
Right.
So I ended up waiting 2 weeks for the first ultrasound. And during that time, I actually competed in Toronto. That was something we had on the books.
Okay.
So that at least gave me a little bit of a distraction.
Right. 2 weeks is a long time to wait when something like that happens. It is.
Yeah, and there's a huge backlog just for ultrasounds in general in Victoria, so 2 weeks is actually quick in the grand scheme of things.
Okay.
But I went in for my ultrasound, and they were doing the ultrasound, and then the radiologist came in and said, yeah, we're going to take a biopsy. And then he sort of said, "It's at this point, we're not looking to see, you know, if you have cancer. We're just trying to figure out what kind of cancer you have." And I was sort of sitting there and sort of went, I was still working on the theory that it was just something benign.
Right.
So, and then I think he saw my face and he's like, well, it could be just a really unusual presentation of a benign cyst. But it's not very likely. So that was sort of the first indication that, you know, perhaps this was a lot more serious than I thought it was. So they took the biopsy, and it was 2 weeks before I got the results back from the biopsy. And I remember I had been in to see my doctor that morning because I had, I actually had the flu.
Oh, God.
And, yeah, and she had sent me home for the day. And while I was there, I said, you know, I haven't heard back my test results from my biopsy. Could we maybe track those down? So she said, yeah, I'll track them down. So I got home, and she called me about 2 hours later and said, yeah, we got the test results back, and it is showing positive for cancer. So at that point, it was showing positive for one form of breast cancer called ductal carcinoma in situ,
right?
Which is, some people almost consider it like a pre-cancerous condition.
Right.
It's not as defined, I guess, as the other forms of cancer, but there was also some anomalies in my biopsy and some tissue that they didn't have enough samples that they could really recognize what it was. But that in itself meant that I would need a surgery to have the lump removed. And at the time, it was looking like the lump that they could see, there were two of them. One was about a centimeter, and the other was about half a centimeter. Very small. So based on that, I was scheduled for surgery in December 2014.
Okay.
So, and the goal of that surgery was just to remove the lump. When I went in for my surgery, what they do is they do another ultrasound, and they mark with wires where the tumors are so the breast cancer can find them. And then they also inject you with a dye that makes your lymph nodes glow, because with breast cancer, the risk is always that it will travel into the lymph system,
right?
And then spread throughout the body. So whenever you have a breast cancer diagnosis, they always take a couple of lymph nodes, usually from under the arm. They're called sentinel lymph nodes, so
right.
They're sort of like the first line of defense. So if stuff is going to spread, they'll spread to those first. So they inject you with this dye that makes them kind of glow, so the surgeon can remove them, and then they can be tested for cancer. So when I went in for my ultrasound prior to my surgery, again, something strange happened. The ultrasound technologist, the radiologist said, based on my last scan, he was going to put in one wire just on the small tumor to mark it so the surgeon would know where it is. So they were doing the ultrasound to figure out where to put the wire, and suddenly he said, actually, I'm going to put two wires in because I'm seeing something a little strange. I'm seeing all sorts of new spots on your ultrasound. And I was like, okay, that's kind of weird. So he put in the two wires, and then I got injected with the dye and was waiting for the surgery. And at that point, you know, we had talked about post-surgery treatment options, and it was looking like I would have radiation followed, I would have my surgery followed by radiation, and that would be it. There was a possibility of chemo, but it was very slight at that time based on what they had seen. I went in for my surgery, and then afterwards, I came out of my surgery, and I saw the breast surgeon. And I knew something strange had happened while I was in my surgery, because suddenly, instead of saying, if you need chemo, she was saying, when.
Right.
So that in itself said, okay, something a little strange. And she said that she did end up taking a lot more tissue than she had originally anticipated.
Okay.
And it was all from the underside of my breast. So I started recovering from that surgery and waited. Basically, at that point, it was waiting for the results from the biopsies and the test results from the tissue that was removed during the surgery.
Right.
So, and that would tell me what stage of cancer and what type of cancer I had based on what they removed.
Right.
So it was another 2 weeks of just waiting, and because my surgery was December the 9th, and I got my test results just before Christmas. 2014.
Did they confirm the original diagnosis? Was it ductal carcinoma in situ, or was it something else?
It was. It turned out in the end that it was ductal carcinoma in situ, but within this bed of DCIS, it turned out I had 20 tumors of invasive ductal carcinoma.
Wow.
So, and yeah, based on the size of the largest lump, which was the one that I had found, it was about 1.6 centimeters, that made stage 2 cancer. They also found a tumor in one of my lymph nodes. They removed two lymph nodes during the surgery, and one of them was positive for tumor. The good news about that was that the tumor was still encapsulated within the lymph node. It hadn't broken out yet, which meant the chances of it spreading to other areas of my body were low. But I was still sent for a PET scan and a CAT scan of the rest of my body just to make sure that there weren't any metastases to anywhere else in my body. So, and thankfully, those were all clear.
Good. Well, that was some good news.
Yeah, but because of the number of lumps and the size of the bed of the PCIS, coupled with my age being only 35,
right.
that meant that, yes, I would need chemotherapy.
So fast forward, so you got the results, did they radiate you and do chemo?
Yes, I had both.
Okay.
On top of everything else, when they do a surgery to remove cancerous tissues, they try and leave a margin of 2 centimeters
right.
of clean, non-cancerous right. tissue, around the tumors. When my surgeon went in, because she found so much more than she expected, unfortunately, she wasn't able to do that. And some of my margins were less than 0.5 centimeter.
Oh.
So that itself meant just... for safety and to decrease the risk of recurrence, I would need a mastectomy
right.
on that side.
Right.
So that started sort of the consideration, okay, so what do we do? I need to get the mastectomy. Do I get a single mastectomy? Do I get a double mastectomy? Do I get reconstruction? Yeah. So I decided to get a double mastectomy with immediate reconstruction.
Okay.
It's a type of reconstruction called DIEP. So basically they take the tissue from your stomach and insert it into the skin from your breast where they remove the breast tissue.
It's amazing that you were back on the dance floor as soon as you were.
Yeah. And that was always a big consideration throughout all of this for me. So I actually did a competition in January. Yeah, January 2015, because I just wanted to stay focused on stuff other than cancer.
Right.
So I recovered from my first surgery, which was a pretty, I won't say easy recovery, but it was about 2 weeks.
Okay.
Because I just did the one incision on the one breast.
Correct.
So it wasn't really affecting any, like there was no muscle involvement,
right.
Nothing around my core.
You could lift your arm.
After like the scar under my... underarm from the lymph nodes healed up, I could lift my arms, no problem.
Okay.
And I needed to maintain that range of motion.
Right.
So, yeah, I did that that competition in January 2015, and then I started chemotherapy the following week.
Wow.
I started six months.
Yeah. So you did 6 months of chemotherapy and radiation, or 6 months of chemo and then the radiation? What was that timeline, and when did you have your mastectomy and reconstruction?
Yeah, so I did 6 months of chemotherapy. It actually turned out to be 26 weeks. Then I had 6 weeks of recovery from the chemotherapy. So I finished chemotherapy the middle of July 2015.
Okay.
And I started radiation, I think it was the last week of August, it would have been, 2015. So five weeks of radiation. I finished that on, I think it was the 19th of September, I finished radiation.
And then you scheduled your mastectomy?
Yeah, that had been scheduled in the summer because you have two different surgeons.
Okay.
So you have to try and find a time when both surgeons' schedules
are
available. And on top of that, it's very long surgery, so they need to book an OR for a minimum of, I think, 14 hours.
Holy cow.
12 hours. Yeah, 12 hours is the average. My surgery actually took 16.
Wow.
And that was the 26th of November 2015. So between radiation and surgery, I actually competed again in October 2015.
Wow. In Canada?
Yeah,
Canada?
All local competitions in Vancouver.
Okay.
And I actually ended up with shingles from the radiation. About 2 weeks after radiation, I got shingles. So when I was competing at this competition, I still had shingles.
It seemed like it went wrong.
Yeah.
The side effects of chemo are just, they're terrible. And, I mean, just this whole ordeal, how did you physically practice and stay in shape to be able to compete throughout this process? It's just, it's amazing to me that you were able to do that. And what did you, what accommodations did you make for yourself? And did you compete, you know, both styles? You're an international style dancer, so I know you do standard and Latin. So when you were competing at these competitions, did you do both styles? Did you sort of restrict yourself to, you know, two rounds of single dances and one championship? How did you manage it?
Yeah, so the first competition I did was just after I found the lump. And other than the fact that I knew I had a lump, I felt fine. I was in great shape physically. I've been doing a lot of training, so that competition was just like a regular competition for me. And in fact, I won top student at that competition. It was in Toronto, it was 63 dances in both styles.
Wow,
that we did that day.
That's a lot in one day.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a lot, but it was a great competition. We had a great time there. We really enjoyed it. It was just a chance to just forget everything else and just focus on dance.
Right.
The next competition that I did do both styles, but I didn't do as many as I had done previously. We kept the single dances down, focused on the multi dances, and didn't do it solo. It was over 2 days. So we had standard one day and Latin the next day, or I think it was something like it was standard in the morning and Latin in the evening on the first day, and then Latin in the morning and standard in the evening on the second day, something like that.
Right.
So between the morning competition and the evening competition, I went back to the hotel room and I napped. I just slept, and it was really funny because my instructor had actually said to me after the competition, he's like, I'm really impressed with how you dealt with stuff. Like you needed a break, and when you needed a break, so you adjusted. And because at the time, everything for him too was also sort of like, whoa, what do we do? How do we deal with this? So he was really impressed with how that goes. You could see at that competition that yes, I wasn't completely on form as I was before. But I was still in fairly good shape. I'd still been going to the gym, except for when I was recovering from surgery, had still been practicing, all that stuff. But you could see that my energy levels were down a little bit because I was recovering from surgery. When it came to doing the chemotherapy itself, that just became about balance. I had talked with my doctors and said, you know, like, I don't want to lose my fitness. I'm not someone who's a natural athlete, so I have to work to try and stay in shape. And I knew that cutting down on fitness and stuff, I was going to gain weight. I was told that, you know, with chemotherapy, you're given a lot of steroids, and the chemotherapy itself, the type that I was getting, would also cause weight gain. That, of course, my activity levels would be down. So I had to look at things, and I had to decide what could I do and what couldn't I do.
Right.
So the one thing I decided to stay focused on was dance. I knew I wouldn't be able to continue strength training, so I sort of put that aside for the whole time that I did. I did very little strength training and just focused on dance. And then the way that the chemotherapy works, the first 12 weeks, I had one treatment every 3 weeks. And so the first week after my treatment, I felt pretty lousy. The second week, I felt better, but I was immunocompromised, so I had to avoid crowds and a lot of contact with a lot of people. The third week, I felt pretty good, but still not 100%. It was obvious there was still stuff going on, but at least I had recovered enough that I had a little bit more energy. So we sort of scheduled my practice and my lessons around that pattern for the first 12 weeks to just sort of say, okay, you know, the first week I wouldn't have a lesson until usually it was the end of the week. So if my treatment would be on a Friday, I wouldn't have a lesson until the following Friday.
Okay.
To give my body some time to recover. Because also doing the activity helped with the recovery from the chemotherapy. You know, it helped get the blood flowing and things like that. And then the following week, I would have a couple of lessons, but we would take precautions. So hand sanitizer
right.
and and stuff. Yeah, and I would be at the studio at a time when not other people were around, and it would sort of be at the studio and then back, and that's it. And then the third week, I would do, you know, more of a regular week for myself, regular practice plus my regular lessons.
Okay.
And then start all over. And that's just how it was scheduled to the beginning. And then I started my weekly chemotherapy session, so it was a different type of chemotherapy. It didn't affect my immune system as much. It was much easier on the body than the first round. I felt a little bit bad a couple days after, so over the weekend after, but usually by Monday or Tuesday, I was feeling a little better, at least that I could dance, because my treatment was on Friday. On Thursday, I would have my that would be my lesson.
Okay.
We would have to make some adjustments during my lesson. There would be some days where I felt dizzy, just from the medications, or lightheaded, or I just felt quite nauseous or tired. So sometimes I would come into a lesson and it would be very obvious that I was off. So we would focus on, we took the time to focus in more on detail stuff and less cardio
type lessons were run through.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, exactly. Focusing more on moving specific muscles or focusing on a very specific technique. Like we took the time to focus a lot on Kievan motion and straightening my legs and position and standard and some shaping and standard and things like that. And you know, we had to take frequent breaks in lessons, and sometimes we would stop dancing and I would just have to hold on to my instructor just a little bit to give my body, my head and everything time to just sort of get regrounded.
Right.
I wore low practice shoes for almost the whole time, and at one point I went down to just dance sneakers. Sometimes the medication would make my blood pressure drop suddenly.
Right.
So I would get really lightheaded. And there was one lesson where just out of the blue, I was just, we had finished dancing, I was fine, I was standing there. My instructor had gone over to adjust something, I think to find a new song or whatever, and he turned around and I was on the floor. Like I just sort of got really lightheaded and blacked out a little.
Oh, wow.
But something like that had happened before at home, so I kind of had an idea that it could just happen out of the blue, and that's all it was just a sudden drop in blood pressure.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, hearing your story makes me feel guilty about those times that I go into the dance studio and I say, oh, my feet hurt, or oh, my back hurts. I mean, there's no excuse for not staying on the floor and doing what you need to do and getting the job done. So you had your double mastectomy last December, was it?
November.
Oh, November.
26th of November. So yeah,
November.
Almost a year ago now.
And so I know that you just competed in the Delta Cup this past weekend, and
yes.
I loved your videos, and I read your blog post about it, and I want to talk a little bit about that. Was that your first competition post that major surgery, or did you compete before that?
I did a showcase.
Okay.
As part of Pacifica Cup, Pacifica Ball, which is held here in Victoria in April.
Okay.
So that was, I did my my fight song solo.
Okay.
Which was sort of our it was a solo that song came out while I was doing my treatment, and I heard the song and I was like, yes, this is so me. So I took it to my instructor and said, can we do a showcase for this? So he listened to it and he agreed, and we said yes, and we wear all black, and my dressmaker made us pink ribbons covered in stones.
Wow.
Hey, yes, that we wore.
Is that the solo that you performed at the Delta Cup? Was that
is the solo that I performed at Delta Cup last year.
Oh, okay.
So this is my second time doing Delta Cup. So Delta Cup was the competition that I did with Shingles.
Okay. Oh.
And we did that solo there. So
And then you did it again.
Redid that solo.
Okay.
At Pacifica Cup. Yeah.
Okay.
And if you look back through my blog, I think I do link to where the video is posted on Facebook.
Okay.
After Delta Cup.
Yeah, I've seen some of them. And a lot of times what I do when we post these podcasts. I also link to your site and to your videos on my blog as well. So folks who are listening, if you want to see some of those dances, just go to thedancinghousewife.com and you will find Jen's links. Let's talk a little bit about Delta Cup. The thing that you were most worried about going into this competition was your five dance standard challenge. And I watched the video, and that round of dances was more than 8 minutes long with all of those dances. And so tell our listeners, standard is sort of like the international version of American Smooth, except there's one extra dance. And tell our listeners what dances that you had to dance for that scholarship.
Yep, so that scholarship was waltz, tango, Viennese waltz, foxtrot, and then it ends with quick step.
Right. I thought you did a great job. I mean, I know that you were really worried going into that competition because in maybe your second to last practice, when you tried to dance them all the way through, you just couldn't make it. You couldn't finish out your quick step, but you did it at the competition. And I mean, it was wonderful. And you dance a high level too. You dance open silver. That's not easy. So, I mean, I commend you and I really admire you for being able to stay not just in the physical shape, but also, you know, I take time away from dance and I come back and I lose some of my technique. And so to be able to do that, all five dances, was pretty amazing. So congratulations on that. I know you weren't happy with your placements according to your blog, but, which I also think is fabulous that you're talking about getting back and working and getting back to where you were before. But why were you so worried about that, just from the standpoint of the physicality of it?
Yeah, it's about stamina. Because I'd spent so much time not so focused on cardio and more on technique, and I'm just getting back to strength training and everything else, my stamina had just gone really, really down. And what I was finding in practices, what was happening is, especially in standard, is I would be dancing and I would be fine and have the energy and strength at 1 minute. And then the next instant, it was like a switch flipped and my legs would just be all jelly and I'd be thinking, okay, just keep going. And my legs would be like, no, we're not cooperating.
Right.
And it was just sort of, it would reach a point, and even my instructor could feel it, where I just like almost like about to collapse. Like all of a sudden, he could feel I'm just really leaning on him, and we just couldn't continue anymore. And that's what was happening. Like I would go, and then all of a sudden, it would just reach a point where it was just my brain would just shut off, and my body would just stop moving. So, and part of that is recovering from chemotherapy and radiation and the surgery. I've been told, you know, it takes about 2 years for the body to really recover and get through that, and that's where that hit really shows, is in the
right.
stamina.
That's a tremendous amount of I don't even know how to describe trauma almost to your body. I mean, it's like being beaten. And what even complicated it worse is that you woke up just prior to heading out the door with a fever and a cold. So you not only had to struggle through just the effects of the surgery, of the chemo, of the radiation that you had been going through for the past year, you also had this extra little cold that popped up. I mean, that makes it even more amazing that you got through it. And I mean, congratulations, regardless of where you finished. I mean, that is a huge accomplishment and really a real inspiration to a lot of people. I have to say, you are like the Energizer Bunny because you just don't stop. I was reading your blog. Oh, and for the people listening, you really need to go over and check out Jen's blog. You can find it at bc ballroomdancer.wordpress.com, but it's a great blog. She's got a Facebook page, so please go like it. But I was reading your most recent, you know, your post-comp sort of summary, and you had a busy weekend. You just found out you got into graduate school, and you're going to go to graduate school part-time, keep your full-time job, and keep dancing. And so that's pretty amazing. I where do you get your energy?
Sometimes I really wonder, to tell you the truth. It's just, you know, I'm very goal-oriented, so I sort of set the goals for myself, and I sort of look at it, and I say, okay, what do I need to do? I've had to make a lot of adjustments from what I used to do. I've had to sort of be more efficient with my energy and with what I do. You know, I look at stuff and, okay, if I do this, what's that effect going to have, and can I do other stuff? So I guess it's made me a little bit more organized with my planning. But it takes a lot of planning, and it also takes knowing yourself. I know myself so much better than I did before I got sick. So I know when I reach that point where I need to give myself a break, and instead of fighting through things like I would before I got sick, I take that time and give myself that break and just relax and decompress. So even at the competition between my solo and my final five dance, I had about a couple hours, and I just sort of sat off in the corner on my own, you know, just playing a bit of a game on my phone for Facebook, and just let myself kind of relax, kind of let the coughing pass, because I was coughing so bad after my solo, but just sort of decompress and reset myself so that I could get through that final five dance. And in the end, I just sort of accept, you know, I know that I will do my best and push my best, but what will be, what will be. And
well, that's for anybody. I think,
yep.
You know, you put the work in the studio, and when you get to competition, you get what you get. I mean, there's so much that's not under our control that all you can do is your best on any given day. And it sounds to me like you did better than you could have expected. So at the Delta Cup, so congratulations. You know, you are an advocate for breast cancer awareness, and you know, I don't know how many women are out there who are ballroom dancers, who are survivors, or who may be going through what you have gone through, or are about to go through what you have gone through. But you know, what advice do you have for women who may find themselves in your circumstances?
Well, one thing I've said that all along is that, you know, a lot of people, when they find an issue, when they find a lump or whatever, they're afraid to get checked because, oh my goodness, what if it is cancer? And after going through it, my message sort of is, you know, what if it is? If it is, it is. But, you know, there's life before cancer diagnosis. I discovered, you know what, there's life during treatment. And then there's certainly life after. It doesn't have to be a death sentence. And the sooner you get checked, the less likely it is. I, in the space of a month, went from having two lumps to having 20. If I had delayed or waited in seeking treatment or getting that diagnosis, my outcome could have been completely different. It was already in one of my lymph nodes. It had spread. I had 20 different tumors. So just waiting, and that was in a month. I went from 2 to 20 in a month.
Right.
That's how aggressive my cancer was. So if I had waited in going to get the test done, in getting that diagnosis, my diagnosis could have been much worse. It could have been stage 4. There could have been metastases. But I was lucky. It was caught early. It was stopped at stage 2. My outcome is good. The chances of me having a reoccurrence as long as I keep taking my hormone therapy and everything, it's less than 10%.
That's wonderful.
And, 5% is sort of the odds of a woman getting breast cancer without any history,
right,
or other contributing factors. So that's what the treatment has done for me. So my advice to women is check yourself. And when you find an issue, get checked sooner rather than later. Don't be afraid to get checked, because the hardest thing is getting that diagnosis. But after that, it's all moving forward, one step at a time.
Well, I think, I wonder if dancing helped you through it. Sounds like it did.
I think it definitely did.
I know. I can't tell sometimes if I dance because I'm happy or I'm happy because I dance, but I just know that I feel better. My brain feels better. I'm sharper. And it sounds to me like dance was part of your therapy. So
it was. It was a big part.
Well, I want to thank you. I know that you are busy. I know on top of everything else that you do, you are getting ready to go out of town this week for work overseas for 10 days. So
yes.
I know you probably have to pack and do some things. So I just want to say one more time to our listeners, please, please, please heed Jen's advice. Self-exams, breast cancer screenings, mammograms, and if you find something, don't be afraid to go to the doctor, because early detection and early treatment can really save your life. One last thing, visit Jen at bcballroomdancer.wordpress.com. Like her Facebook page, subscribe, read what she has to say. She is a fabulous writer and a fellow blogger, and I look forward to seeing what the whole future holds for you, Jen. I'm excited to watch you dance some more.
Thank you. January should be my next competition, so we look forward to that.
Oh, that's great. I meant to ask you what was up next. January 2017, where will you be dancing?
Vancouver again.
Okay, well, best of luck, and keep me posted. And okay, ladies and gentlemen, that is a wrap. Thanks, Jen.
Thank you.